in this blank. Don't do it out loud, but just think about it. In this life, I am seeking after blank more than anything else. Think about that. Think about that. Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. In this life, I am seeking after blank more than anything else. Now, you might say, preacher, I don't know if I know the answer to that. Well, one way you can look at it, what do you spend most of your time doing? What do you spend most of your time seeking after? Or your resources seeking after? And that'll pretty much give you a clue in what fits in that blank. But can I tell you that if you're honest with God, and anything is in that blank other than God or Jesus, guess what? You got the wrong priority in life. You see, we are called to seek the Lord first. And as we continue in this sermon series, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're looking at a story that typically we talk about around Christmas time. Now, as I mentioned before, it's very obvious from the passage about the wise men that actually the wise men came somewhere the magnitude of 2 years after Jesus was born. The word, is different. It goes from an infant to a small child to describe Jesus. It goes from being in a stable to being in a house. Obviously, this came at some point later when the wise men came rather than the birth. And I know that most of our nativities, as I've said, have the wise men right there. And I'm not telling you to take the wise men and ditch them in the trash or anything. But just to keep in mind, according to Scripture, that did obviously happen sometime later. All right? We're going to read this, and I'm going to review what we've already talked about, seeking after Jesus. And again, if you filled that blank with anything other than God or the Lord or Jesus, the message is for you. And I would take this very personal today. You know, when a preacher gets behind the pulpit and preaches the message that God has given to him, it's not so that he can hear his own voice, or it's not so for any profit of the preacher, even though I do preach to myself probably as much as I preach to you. But I preach it for the benefit of those that are in God's house today. And I believe our God, who's also big enough to know all of our concerns and all of our unspokens and big enough to run the whole solar system and the whole universe, I believe God is big enough to coordinate the message that we need to hear today. So I believe that this is the message that God has for us and that God wants us to hear today. So please listen up. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now we don't know exactly where they came from, all right? Exactly. What country they came from. Some would say perhaps north of Babylon. We don't know for sure. But they came a long distance, obviously. And this the word for wise men is magi. They were astrologers or astronomers. They studied the sky. They were in tune with the signs that showed up in the sky. I guess probably a better term would be astronomers rather than astrologers. There is a difference. And they were men of resources, all right? Probably a huge entourage of them with their camels and probably servants and goods and supplies traveled to try to find Jesus. Verse 2, it says, "When they came to Jerusalem, that is, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Isn't it interesting that people that were from way off recognized that this was King of the Jews, and those that were very near, many of them never did recognize that he was the Messiah, the King of the Jews? Verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Can I tell you that Herod was a very, very wicked ruler? "So he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him." Verse 4, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, I'd be very surprised if this is not a very familiar passage to you. But it's in Scripture for a reason. Now, do you remember the gospel writer of Matthew, the apostle? Do you remember what he's presenting? Now, each one of the gospels have a different emphasis, okay? Remember, Matthew is presenting the perfect king. The perfect king. And what was the question of the magi or the wise men? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And as he's making his argument, if you will, Matthew, that this was indeed the king of the Jews, that this was the perfect king as the Son of God that came to this earth. Can you see how this story fits in very nicely with that? And it's the only one that records this visit of the wise men. And wouldn't it mean something that these wise men came in their wealth, in their prestige, came and worshiped Jesus and brought him extravagant gifts as the perfect king? As I look at this story, we can learn a lot as we apply the principles of seeking after Jesus, because these wise men sought after Jesus. I'm afraid that too often we as Christians, we might seek after Jesus for a while, but then we kind of drop the ball, so to speak. We kind of get a little bit lazy. It's like, well, I sought after Jesus for a few years, but I'm just really tired. I got a lot going on. And can I tell you that our seeking after Jesus should never stop? You see, God is so much bigger than our little pre-brains can understand. Can I tell you that the Word of God is so much deeper than our pea-brains will ever fully understand until we get to heaven? So we got a lot of seeking after Jesus to do. Y'all agree with that? In way of review, first of all, seeking after Jesus is a long journey. Remember that these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. It was obviously a long journey. But do you realize that seeking after Jesus as New Testament Christians today is also a long journey? For us, it's like, you know, our whole life, once we're saved until we leave this world, it ought to be, I'm seeking after Jesus. I'm seeking after Jesus. I'm seeking Him in His Word. I'm seeking to know Him better. I'm seeking His will for my life. For the lost, sometimes it's a long journey till you get saved. You know, God is drawing you to Himself, convicting you with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there's people around you saying, you need to get saved, you need to trust the Lord. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time as well. But sometimes a long journey. Secondly, we've already looked at this. We looked at this Sunday night. Not only is seeking after Jesus a long journey, secondly, seeking after Jesus involves asking good questions. Remember the question they asked? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? But you know, the lost people, there's some good questions that they need to ask. Who is this God? Who is Jesus? What did he do for me? What is the Bible? Can I trust the Word of God? Good questions. And when they get an answer to that, hopefully that person is convinced and say, you know what, I want to trust Jesus. But you know, the questions ought not cease once we become a Christian. We ought to continue to ask good questions of God, right? Lord, how do I get to know you more? How do I become more faithful in my service? Lord, how do I reach my neighbor for Jesus? Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, what is it you want me to do for you today? You see, seeking after Jesus for a saved person also involves asking a lot of good questions. Number three that we looked at Sunday night, seeking after Jesus means seeking something special to worship. What does it say? It says of these wise men, and it says they are come to worship him. Notice the latter part of that verse. For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. In verse 11, when they encounter Jesus, it says when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. You know, seeking after Jesus means seeking something special to worship. Do you realize that God has created man to be a spiritual being or to crave something to worship? I mean, there's more than just this old body, you know? I mean, the body's all you see, and this is the part we're going to lay down. And sometimes I say, thank the Lord for that. Not going to have that old body in heaven. I want to be a whole lot better looking in heaven. But we're going to lay down this old body, okay? But you know, there's a soul and a spirit inside of man as well. And I believe in every man, God put a vacuum, if you will, or a space that only God can fill. And we're seeking something higher than ourselves. Do you understand that, kind of? You know, a lot of times even the law say, you know, there's got to be more to life than what I'm living. And they're wondering, what should I worship? But you know, seeking after Jesus, we have found something special to worship. If you're a child of God, guess what? We don't have to contemplate and scratch our heads and say, what's bigger than me? What can I worship? Can I tell you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our worship. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And He died upon a cruel cross to pay for our sins. Man, that's something to worship, don't you think? It's hard to believe that people of this world worship so many. The only word I can come up with is stupid. So many stupid things. So many things that they're totally inappropriate to worship. And so many people of this world spend their whole time worshiping those things that are going to just simply stay on this earth when you leave this world. You can get yourself a brand new car. Nothing wrong with getting a brand new car. But guess what? After a while, it's eventually going to rust. Brand new house you can build, but guess what? Eventually, the gutters are going to need clean. Eventually, the paint's going to peel off, or the siding's going to come loose, or something, right? Eventually, you're going to have a leak in the basement. Why not worship that which is truly worthy of our worship? Can I tell you, if you're here lost today, you've never trusted Jesus, can I tell you, you can seek to worship whatever you want to, but you're never going to be satisfied until you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy. One more point in the way of review from last Sunday night. Seeking after Jesus makes some folks very uncomfortable. Seeking after Jesus makes some folks very uncomfortable. Notice in verse 3 it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was a very jealous sort. You know, he didn't want anybody to take away from his authority. It says in verse 4, he gathered the chief priests, scribes of the people together. He demanded of them. I mean, this was one anxious guy. This was one upset guy. And do you realize that when you make up your mind to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ and Him first and foremost in your life, that there's going to be some people around you that think you've gone Looney Tunes. I'm speaking of people that are lost. You know, you hear these stories quite often when people finally say, I'm going to seek after Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. You know, some of those old friends aren't old friends anymore. They're past friends. You know what I mean? They're the kind that say, oh, okay, you gave me your life to Jesus. I want no part of it. You know, those drinking buddies don't want to be around you anymore because you're not as much fun as you used to be in the drinking parties. But guess what? You got a whole lot more joy in your heart and life than they do because you sought after Jesus and got born again. But you know, even as Christians, once we know Jesus, if you start talking certain talk, you know, there's even Christians sometimes will say, now. You know, what if little Junior decides God wants him to be a missionary? Oh, well, that's good, son. You know, we're faithful to God and everything, but missionary, no. We want you to stay right here in our neighborhood. Well, it got awful quiet, didn't it? You know, sometimes when people get serious about God and they said, I'm seeking after God, and whatever that might be, I'm going to do it. Christians kind of sometimes like to throw water on it, you know? Man, it got really quiet in here. You know, hopefully you're not the one throwing water on somebody's faithfulness to God or seeking after God, but sometimes Christians don't even get it. I mean, there were people when we went into the ministry and gave up engineering and went into the ministry. I knew God was going to call me eventually. I didn't know when, and I kept on going, and I wasn't rebelling against God. A lot of preachers said, I rebelled against God for years. I wasn't rebelling. I was willing to do whatever, but God said, you go do that. I'll let you know when I'm calling you into ministry. And there were some people that thought we were a little bit Looney Tunes. You're giving up a good job to be a preacher? Go to seminary? Come on! You know, some people, Christians sometimes, they're challenged when somebody steps closer to God and they're not, they're a little bit put out. They're like, huh. I mean, you let some of you make up your mind that you're going to be a Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. And there, I wouldn't be surprised if someone doesn't say, wow, you're kind of going a little bit overboard, aren't you? I don't think you're going overboard at all. I think you're doing what God expects. But let me tell you, Christians are not happy. You might even have someone in your family that's very comfortable with where they're at as a Christian. Maybe even a spouse. If you start getting a little bit more serious about God, they kind of look at you like, oh, I don't think we really got to do that, do we? You want to give how much to the church? Come on. You want to go to church when? You want to help with what ministry? Oh. You want to start what ministry for the Lord? And they start looking at you a little bit funny. But you see, not everyone is happy when someone says, you know what? I'm gonna fill in the blank. I'm seeking after Jesus more than anything else. But you know what? They shouldn't be able to stop you. Just seek after the Lord. Do you realize that they're not going to answer for you and you're not going to answer for them? You know, you can't call up reinforcements and say, oh, come on here, we're going to stand. When we stand before Jesus, it's going to be me and Jesus. That's it. So whether they like it or don't like it, I need to do what God wants me to do. Today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm not sure how far I'll get in this, but we'll just unplug and finish it up next week if we have to. Seeking after Jesus. This is new stuff, all right? Number 5. Seeking after Jesus involves finding the answers in the Word, in the Bible. Did you notice what it says in verse 5? Remember, Herod the king is very easily intimidated. He's very threatened by all of this. And he says in verse 4, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For it's written by the prophets. Guess what? They searched out the word of God and found out Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Do you realize that we find the answers to seeking after Jesus right here in the Word of God? You see, a lot of times we don't seek after the Lord the way we should, and we don't spend time in the Word like we should. You know, I was telling the young people in our teen class today, we had a good class. We had 4 in there today, praise the Lord. We were talking about the Word of God and how it's all sufficient. And if I don't get anything else across to you today and you don't take anything else home, this Bible is all that you need. And if you're going to seek after Jesus, it's right here in the book. I mean, you can't say, well, I'm going to seek after Jesus. Have you read your Bible today? No. Well, I'm going to seek after Jesus. I'm going to do great things for the Lord. Are you spending time in the Word of God? No. Huh. That's probably not going to work too good, is it? Because I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to speak to the heart of the child of God so that I know what I'm supposed to do to seek after Him more and more and more. Can I tell you that a lot of you, you're just kind of blah. I mean, I'm not talking today. I'm not saying, well, thanks, preacher. I'm glad you said I'm blah. I'm talking about in life. When you get up, you're just kind of blah. And you're just kind of like, I gotta go to work. You know, or maybe you're retired, same old, same old. I just got to get up and do the same thing. Got to do laundry, got to do dishes, got to cook for hubby. And the husband doesn't do anything, but no, I'm joking. And the husband says, you know, same old, same old. I got 1,000 things to do. I got the honey-do list, what in the world. And you just kind of get blah. Can I tell you, one of the best things you can do is read the Word of God. Spend time in the Bible. Can I tell you that this will pick you up? This will encourage your heart. This will help you to be all that God wants you to be. I'm telling you, we could throw away a lot of the medicine we take sometimes for discouragement. Please do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that they're always bad. But I'm saying that sometimes we could lessen the medicine or do away with the medicine if we would spend more time with Jesus. Is that clear? It'll pick us up. It'll lift us up. It'll say, you know what? This seeking after Jesus is good stuff. Look at this. I remember at West Virginia Tech while I was getting my engineering degree, it was not easy. And I'd get stressed sometimes. I'm like, man, I got that project and I got this test. And you know what I do? And I'm not saying this because I'm super spiritual or was super spiritual at the time. It's just like, you know what? I just need to calm down. So I start reading the Bible. Best I remember, Philippians is one of the best calm down books in the Bible. The book of Philippians. It's got so much good in it. So if you find yourself like stressing out, read the Bible. You find yourself discouraged, read the Bible. You find yourself wandering away from God, read the Bible. It's amazing what this book will do for you. You see, seeking after Jesus means spending time in the book, getting the answers from the book. You know, some people might say, you know, I'm seeking after Jesus, but in this one area here, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't think I'll ever forget someone I was talking to one time, and you know, I was talking to them about the Lord because they were doing something they shouldn't be doing. And I kind of brought it up. I felt pretty much at freedom to say, you know, really, you know, why are you doing that? That's not, you know what they told me? Well, I've got everything else okay, so just one sin in my life, that's not too bad. Or, you know, I've only done one thing against the Lord, and I'm like, wow, really? See, sometimes we do that too. You know, we're like, okay, this area, I'm going to be spiritual. But in this area, I'm going to do my own thing. That doesn't work either. That's really not seeking after Jesus. That's really seeking after what you want. You see, the Word of God will show us those areas that we ought not have in our life. And it'll help us in our walk with God. It will draw us closer to Him. And let me tell you, who's going to reap the benefit of that? You are. I am. When I spend time in the Word, I seek after the Lord. I find the answers right here. You know, the world is really, how many of you would agree with this? Don't say amen, because that kind of so be it. I don't want it to so be it. I want it to change. But how many of you believe that the world is a bit whacked out? Yeah, it is, right? The world is a bit whacked out. And if we're not careful, we'll be whacked out right along with them. Seeking after the Lord in His Word will keep us straight. Will keep us believing what we need to believe. It'll keep us standing where we need to stand. You see, seeking after the Lord involves finding the answer in God's You know, really, if we'd spend, there's a lot of things we spend an awful lot of time on, that if we'd spend that time in the book, we would be so blessed. We would be so encouraged. We would hardly be able to contain our excitement on the inside because we've spent time with Jesus. And we say, I'm seeking after the Lord. You see, seeking after Jesus involves finding the answers in the Word. These chief priests and scribes found the answer. Bethlehem. All of the answers to life are in this book. You know, one of the things I really believe that we need to do is thank God for the book, the Bible. If we didn't have that, boy, imagine how in the dark we would be. For the lost, it tells them how to be saved. Do you realize that the Word of God tells you exactly how to be saved? I wouldn't give you a nickel for anything else that tries to tell you how to be saved. I told the Sunday school class today, we was talking about this kind of idea because Paul was writing to Timothy saying, you know, you've known the Holy Scriptures from a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So we started looking at the Bible and what it says about salvation and how you can be saved. And I told him, as I've also told y'all, I could come up with something really goofy. You say, preacher, most of the things you say seem to me to be a little bit goofy. I could come up with some really goofy way. I had the Sunday school class to, can y'all do this? Okay, most everybody can do it. If you can't do it, you can't be saved. So I'm coming up with this way. I'm just formulated in my brain based upon Sunday school. Do that three times. Okay? Okay? Hit your head three times. Say, yippee! Okay. Now, listen, you say, that's crazy, preacher. But if I didn't have the Word of God, there's people whacked out going around saying, you do things like that, you're saved. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says you're saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, you're saved by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. At a point in time, it's not a process. It may take you a while to get there, but when you're saved, it's a point in time that you call out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that I'm a sinner. Jesus died to pay for my sins. I believe that as the Son of God, He resurrected back to life, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. That's salvation, according to the Word of God. So today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I don't know of any better time. I don't know of any better place than to trust Jesus as your Savior today. You see, seeking after Jesus as a lost person, the only place you can go to find out how to be saved is in the Bible. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A few verses a little bit further, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for the Word of God. For those that are lost, that are seeking after Jesus, it has the answers on how to be saved. But as I also have spent a fair amount of time emphasizing, not only for the lost, but for the saved, this book has all the answers. If you want to seek after Jesus, you cannot set aside the Word of God and say, I'm going to get serious about the Lord. Well, just pull it right up to you, start reading the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God. I almost picture it as like pouring all of Jesus so we can into ourselves. And it will have an impact. It will help you to seek after God more. You see, seeking after Jesus involves finding the answers in the Word. You know, I'm sure that this is the case, but on YouTube, I'm sure there's a lot of bad stuff. But for do-it-yourselfers, there's a lot of good stuff on YouTube. You know, I've gone to YouTube, I got an engine light on my car come on or something, and I figure out what code it is, and then I go and say how to fix that. When the dryer don't work, you put in how to fix a whatever Kenmore dryer model so-and-so, and it might pop up. And then you watch this little video, and these people make it look really simple, and it's never that simple, but you click that little go button there, and it shows you how to fix that that dryer. When the furnace don't work, you know, you put in that furnace and say, how do you fix this, or what could be wrong? And you can watch a little video, and it tells you how wonderful for do-it-yourselfers. It really is. It really helps you to figure out how to fix things. Can I tell you something better than YouTube? You want to fix your life? The Word of God. If you're lost, you fix your life by the Word of God. You're saved and you want to draw closer to God, you fix your life by the Word of God. What an amazing book. God-breathed book. Seeking after Jesus involves finding the answers in the Word. Number six, second today overall. I'll cover one more point perhaps. Seeking after Jesus is a pretend thing to some. Let me say that again. Seeking after Jesus is a pretend thing to some. If you look at verses 7 and 8, you know, the chief priests and the scribes have consulted the word, and they figured out it's Bethlehem. And then Herod, verse 7, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, now you go search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Was Herod being truthful? He was trying to deceive the wise men so that they would come back and tell him exactly where Jesus was, so that Herod, the king, could go and kill Jesus. Now we know that because if you look at verse 16, Herod sends troops in, or whatever you want to call them, I guess troops, 2 years old and under, and killed them because they were hoping to get Jesus. So was Herod pretending? Absolutely. He was pretending. Can I say this even with a burdened heart and a broken heart, that sometimes people pretend to be a seeker of Jesus? Pretend. I've heard this statistic for a big part of my life, and I've shared it with you before, and I'll do it one more time in case you don't believe me. Billy Graham was once asked how many people he felt that come to church are actually saved. Billy Graham made the statement, 10%. 10%. And I'm not saying that in your face. I'm not saying, you know, you need to doubt your salvation. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that sometimes people can pretend to be saved. And they're very good actors and actresses. You see, the Bible in Matthew 13 even talks about it. It talks about the wheat and the tares. And I did a little bit of research on that. Wheat and tares up to a certain point look just alike. And you can't tell them apart. And remember how the parable was told, and they sowed good seed and the wheat came up, and then an enemy came in and sowed in tares. And it looked just like the wheat. And the farmer said, well, let me go in and pull up the tares or the phonies or the pretend. And the Lord said, no, leave that to me, because you'll uproot some good things too. And I think even in our churches today, there are pretenders. And my best advice to you today, if you're pretending to be a seeker after God, get real. Wise up. If there's any doubt in your mind about whether you're saved, today's the day to settle it. I mean, I really believe. You know, the Bible says that you'll know the trees by the fruit they bear. So a child of God ought to be bearing fruit. And if you're like, well, I think I was saved there, probably, I was 15, probably, maybe. I know, preacher, I don't come much, and I really don't have any fruit in my life and all that. That doesn't mean that you aren't saved. Maybe you're just wandering from God, but I would at least consider, did I really mean it when I got saved when I was 15? Because there will be fruit. There will be evidence of a person being saved. You see, Herod in this story, he pretended to seek after Jesus. You let me know. I'm going to go worship him. And I'm saying in our churches today, I guarantee you talk to any preacher, and ask them about this, they'll say, yeah. I don't know who they are. I don't know who is and who isn't. But I'd almost guarantee you that there's some folks in every Bible-believing and preaching church that are pretending to be saved and they're not. And whenever I get to the invitation part or I start talking about being saved, you know, it's kind of like their dashboard lights come on. It's like, wow, I don't know. And typically, get a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, I wish the preacher would just move on. But folks, I don't want the pretend type of salvation. I want the real, legitimate, genuine salvation. So, I would encourage you today. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what your preacher thinks. It doesn't matter what the person in the row with you thinks. What matters is what God thinks. So I say, don't be a pretender. Some people will pretend to seek after God. You know when you're kids, you'll pretend to do certain things. You know, you'll pretend to be a teacher. You know, I'm a teacher. Okay, class. You know, they have their little friends. You know, sit down now. We're gonna study. You know, they kind of make believe world, pretend, right? Or pretend to be a nurse or a doctor, pretend to be an engineer, pretend to be, you know, I remember playing with firecrackers as a kid. I know they were illegal in West Virginia, please forgive me, at that point. But we had friends that went to other states and brought them back. Y'all did the same, right? You played with those firecrackers, and I pretended to be an army general and blowing up ants and everything, you know. and pretending is okay as a kid, but guess what? You're adults. You've grown up. Let's get past pretending to be a seeker of Jesus. I would encourage you in a little bit. We're talking about seeking after Jesus. When you filled in that blank, what do I seek most in life? What would be in the blank? What would be in the blank? If it's anything other than the Lord, it's sin. And you need to get it out. And you need to say, Lord, help me to seek you first and foremost. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I know I'm lost. I'm not pretending anything. I know that I'm lost. Well, today, I'll be somewhere down around the front here. You come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. Or maybe if you're here today and you say, you know what, I may have been part of this church for a long time, but you know what? I'm really not sure I'm saved. Or you might say, I pretended to be saved for years. Only God knows your heart. Why pretend? Why not make it real? Why not come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. And if you're a Christian here today and you say, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Help me to continue to do. You know, maybe it would be helpful just to come to the altar and say, God, for the most part I'm seeking, but every once in a while I'll get distracted. Maybe I'm distracted right now. Help me to get that distraction out and seek you first. You know, a good, healthy trip to the altar is a good thing if God is speaking to your heart. Whatever the need is today, can I tell you, you cannot seek after God too much. And I think any time we move a little closer to him and seek after him a little bit more, I think the Heavenly Father is pleased.